Arm's Length Reporting for investors who want the whole story. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Hey, welcome in. Time for KER Politics. You know, I've got a confession I have to make, and that is that I'm doing less and less politics and more what I consider to be subjects of great interest to listeners. If you just look at the United States from the political aspect of it right now, and if you have any indication at all of depression, you're not even going to be able to sleep at night. It's gotten to be so bad. So I'm going to, obviously, starting this Saturday, we're going to talk a little bit about what I consider to be general subjects. We have the holidays coming up. You know, we're recording this after Thanksgiving. But, you know, Thanksgiving and the Macy's Parade and all the rest of it, that's kind of an introduction to the holidays, what with Hanukkah, Christmas, and the rest of them right around the corner. I have got Dr. Frieda Birnbaum on the line with me right now, and the reason that I decided to kind of switch from 100% politics into 100% general interest is because I'm really trying to do you guys a favor. I want to get experts in here that will allow you to think about present-day potential problems. Now, we're going to close out the show in the last two segments with Lieutenant Colonel McKinney. Obviously, we're going to be talking about politics there, but no more entire show politics. It's gotten to be way too one-sided and way too aggravating for me. Frieda, you sent me an email recently, and it had to do with potential pitfalls of the holidays, potential psychological pitfalls of the holidays. Would you elaborate on what you meant by that?
Well, absolutely. We have relatives that we love, and we have relatives that really, I hate to say this, are a pain. Well, it's true, so I may as well admit it. When we get together and we anticipate having a joyful experience, they often put us in a situation that pins us down to where are we working, who are we seeing, when are we going to have children, and then we're stuck with these people sitting facing them during the mealtime. The people on either side of you, the people that are in front of you, are the people that you're really going to be talking to. So the best thing to do really is to look and see what you can find of interest, something that you feel that could keep you from being bored. Of course, you spoke about politics. That will absolutely prevent people from being bored, no matter what side you're on. But also try to enjoy the fact that you're with family, because family is the most important thing you can do for yourself during the holidays. There are some people, there are many people that don't have family around them. You can bring in friends, you can call on the phone, you can bring someone over for dinner that's alone as well. So there are many things you can do for other people. And, you know, your heart physiologically changes its beating, its pace when you're giving, and there's more happiness in that than receiving. So it's just not a saying, it's really something that's actually happening to you. That's a good feel moment. And so that's part of what the holiday is about. It's about being joyous, and hopefully you can sustain that for the rest of the year.
You know, I have a question for you, Dr. Birnbaum, and that question is, I have noticed over the past few years, I mean, I've been around 76 years, damn near, be 76 years this Sunday, and make that 77
Happy
years.
Happy birthday.
Oh, thank you so much. But I have to say this, I have noticed over the years that holidays for some people have a tendency to cause very, very depressive feelings internally. Why is that, Dr. Birnbaum?
Well, you know, absolutely. You see people with families. You see people shopping. They look happy. They are going places. And then you feel that you can't keep up that momentum. So when you compare yourself, someone who may not have enough money, who may not have where to go, who may not have family around, and you're supposed to be so happy all of a sudden, well, it just doesn't work. So it can bring in depressive moments. You have to look at reality. It's not about having those things around you. It's what makes you comfortable at that time. Doing volunteer work for people that have less than you often can give you perspective of what's really important. Being able to bake some cookies for someone, soup kitchen, taking a walk with someone and looking at the decorations. You don't even have to spend money to enjoy that holiday. Or taking someone out that doesn't have someone to spend time with. That could be extremely gratifying.
You know, I went out this year just because I had the opportunity. We have a coalition in Blaine, an organization that definitely tries to take care of the disadvantaged. And Lord knows the city of Blaine, Washington has a huge amount of what I would call financially disadvantaged people. And so the coalition puts together free Thanksgiving dinners that they pack and hand out. I believe they were handed out yesterday. We're recording this on Wednesday. I believe they were handed out on Tuesday. But, you know, the dinners consist of rolls, turkeys, stuffing, you name it, just about everything you'd need for it. Not just about, but everything you need for a traditional Thanksgiving dinner. So I jumped in this year, and I went down with a friend of mine to Costco. And we purchased, not personally, but the coalition purchased, and we had to pick up approximately 3,000 dinner rolls.
Wow.
Dr. Birnbaum, I got to tell you, you have no idea how much space 3,000 dinner rolls take in a car, and then you have no idea how long it takes to reorganize all those dinner rolls, so each sack that's included in one of the Thanksgiving boxes only has 18 dinner rolls in it. Now, let me tell you this. I didn't do that, and I'm not talking about that because I think I'm a saint or so. I'm far from a saint. But I'm mentioning this because that cost me no money, cost me about a half a day of my time, and I got to tell you, I feel pretty warm and fuzzy about it.
It's a wonderful feeling to see someone who's going to be happy because of you, someone who's going to have a feeling of looking forward to and joyfulness in their life instead of feeling empty and isolated. What could be better than that? There's nothing better than that, and that's what the holidays are really about. It's about giving joy. It's not about how much money you can spend, but how much difference you can make for someone else, because you're right, it does bring depression as well. There's divorce, which kids go where and who sees them when, death in the family, and it's hard to celebrate. But the best way to do that is to bring that person back into the memory when you are with other people and talk about them and celebrate their life, because otherwise, they're the white elephant in the room, and people are thinking of that person, and nothing is being said. And then there's illness. What happens when someone is too ill to celebrate? There's nothing wrong with you going over there and bringing things that can be festive, decorations or food items, and a group of you sitting there and spending that time together. Because life is really about the moments that you're sharing. It's not about next year or the day after. It's being in the present. And many people have trouble with that. But it's not about anything else but sharing and connecting at that time.
Yeah. No, I realize that. It is about the moment. There's no question about that. And I think that everything that we can all do, as opposed to complaining about this, complaining about that, etc., etc., is we can make the moment as pleasurable as we can for the next person. Ladies and gentlemen, stick around. I'm going to be back with Dr. Frieda Birnbaum.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome back. Our politics and KER subjects of general interest. Even though I said in the first segment we were really going to stay away from politics and concentrate on general interest, I'm going to take just a short break from that with Dr. Birnbaum, and then when I talk with Lieutenant Colonel McKinney, we'll talk a little bit about other things other than just politics. Frieda, I got to ask you, you live in New Jersey, you are living in, your practice is in Manhattan, you got to talk with a myriad of people about psychological issues. Why in the heck are people getting so, I'm going to use the word vitriolic about the impeachment situation? Any comments on that?
You know, it's become something very personal. It's not only politics here. We're talking about the President of the United States and what people think of him, more so than his campaign. Do they feel that he's outrageous? Is that somebody that they want to have with representing leadership qualities? Is that the kind of role model that we should look up to? So that's where we've gone, and it's become more involving, more apolitical than more involving with personalities. And when we're looking at the people who are trying to be nominated, the Democrats, they're also talking about their personalities more than anything. So our political point of view has changed to being someone who is an influencer, someone who they feel they want to follow. Trump has his followers that remain true to him no matter what he does and no matter what he says. So we are very, very opinionated and very, very upset. We are worried the economy won't be as good. Now, I know people on both sides. I know people who love Trump. I mean, what is your point of view? Can I ask you this on the air, or would you rather be neutral?
No, we ask a lot of things on the air. What's known as
I know that.
On the record. I mean, how do you feel about Trump, Dr. Birnbaum?
Uh-huh. That's not fair. All right. So how do I feel about him? Well, look, you know, if we're looking about politics, if we're looking at changes in the world, if we're looking at security, unemployment, anything that affects us as Americans and gives us strong and gives us leadership, well, he has done that. He has made a huge difference in that arena. When we're looking at someone as a role model, I remember I was on, I think, was it MSNBC or one of those stations, and I was one of the first people interviewed about Trump, what I thought of him, and I said, you know, take out your popcorn and get ready for the ride. It's going to be a hell of a ride, and that's really what it's been. So he is not someone who is really typical of how we see politics today, how we see politicians today, and maybe that's why he was voted in. Often politicians are seen as people that can't be trusted. Well, Donald Trump can't be trusted, but at least we all know about it, and we find out what the real issues are. We have to know that, politically speaking, we are all in this together. And politically speaking, it's not about who the person is so much, about what he has contributed to us in our lives and our society. So, yes, there's a lot to be said about Trump, Donald Trump, in a negative way, his personal life. But is that really our business? Should that really affect us, his morals? But we have to go even bigger than that. This is not a reality show. This is something that our lives depend on. And if we can feel secure with North Korea, because of this man, if he is befriending our enemies in a way that they're coming forward to protect us, then isn't that something to be reckoned with? Isn't that something that we really need to know the generations ahead of us will be secure? So Bloomberg is coming into now. He's coming into one of the people who will be running to be nominated as our Democratic I'm sorry, there's somebody ringing in, nominee. But, you know, he's strong. he has been extremely successful. Here is someone who's going to be oppositional to Donald Trump. Let's see what he can bring in, because so far, as far as I'm personally concerned, I don't see anybody else. Biden is ahead for sure. He's continuing to be ahead, but he also has his weaknesses. And I'm not talking about his personal life. I'm talking about his leadership qualities. He fumbles when he's talking. He says the wrong things, and it shows a sign of weakness. We need someone that we can feel represented by. Is there anyone in this committee that you feel, the Democratic committee, that you feel has a chance?
The comments that I made to one of my liberal friends after the last debate, and that was with with at the time all the front runners, and the comments that I made is none of them really showed me anything. All they got into was the singular topic called "We have to beat Trump." If that's your only topic, I don't want you to be my president.
Forget it. It's over. It's over. I don't see impeachment. I don't see it.
No.
The point is that with everything, and this man, forget about the presidency, this man has been scrutinized, and he's been run through the mill more than any other president that we have ever had. And he keeps bouncing back. You know, I look at him, and I'm curious how he can do that. How he can maintain such scrutiny and such negativity about him, and yet he keeps making changes, making our country more secure, making unemployment something that's the lowest it's been in a long time. The stock market is doing even better than ever now. How can we find somebody that can maintain that? When we talk about Joe Biden and his son, obviously, there was something not 100% there. Obviously, all the people on the committee, on the debating committee, have found fault with one another and researched one another. Yes, did he say quid pro quo, I'm going to take this and not give you money to the Ukraine if you don't do this for me? Well, he didn't say it outright. Did he imply that? Well, he did say that he would go over there and represent them if they did this. But there was nothing there that said that he actually said. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Frieda, no, we've got to take a real quick break here. And the reason we have to do that, and then I'll be back with Lieutenant Colonel McKinney, is we're going to talk about that again in the next segment.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, stick around.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment. Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome into the second half of KER Politics. I have to tell you, Dr. Frieda Birnbaum really is giving me some good insights, and I hope giving you some really good insights into what's going on in the minds of the never Trumpers and in the minds of the always Trumpers. I really enjoy hearing what she and some of our other psychologist guests have to say. Jim, I want to ask you a question. Was this a good week or a bad week for the president in terms of the opinion polls, in terms of what you think the opinion polls are actually saying? Good or bad, bud?
Well, I think the many people thought this should have been the president's worst week in history. The House Intelligence Committee Chair Adam Schiff forwarded the investigation results, his report, to House Judiciary Committee Chairman Jerry Nadler to pursue impeachment. And I believe that what has happened, I don't believe what the polls are showing very strongly, is that there's less appetite after open hearings from Adam Schiff, less appetite for impeachment for President Trump. I think the numbers, most of the polling is showing a drop from 48% of independents down to in the 30s, below 30s. Republicans are actually more positive for him, and even some Democrats are slipping. So the entire effort to push impeachment over this Ukrainian issue has really turned against the Democratic effort, to the political effort to do it. And there's a lot of reasons for it. I think there's a lot of reasons.
Jimmy, you got to give me some of those reasons. And the reason you have to do that is, I believe from what I'm hearing, number one, in our community, and number two, from what I'm observing is going on in our country as a whole, I really don't see a whole lot of positive emotion for Trump right now. Why do you disagree with that?
Well, I think there's actually there's some great numbers out there that contradict that statement, in spite of some of the people in our local community. But basically, with the intelligence the intelligence committee's effort to do this hearing and this investigation against Trump, there were two basic principles that they were attacking. One, they believe that Trump was using bribery, this $400 million in security assistance. And two, that he was it was in order to conduct the investigation against a actual potential political opponent, Joe Biden. Yep. The problem with that argument is that if you say, first of all, every one of the witnesses that were called in the open hearing were asked directly if they saw any bribery or any illegal conduct. Nobody did. Nobody in that open hearing said that. So that really undermines the argument. But I'm going to tell you the second conundrum that that they have, which is very significant, that the Democrats have in this in making these accusations. If the President of the United States cannot ask for an investigation for a potential corruption, and the information is very strong, Joe Biden has actually openly said that he used a quid pro quo to force them to withdraw this investigation against the Burisma, the company that his son was on the board of. If you say that wasn't legitimate, then how can you argue that the Comey investigation under the Obama administration for counterintelligence investigation in the campaign was actually legitimate? And then how do you argue that the Mueller investigation was legitimate when you say that this shouldn't have happened for the Trump administration? That puts them in a very difficult position. And I think that go ahead, Al.
But do you think that the Schiff people are going to really buy that? Do you think that'll ever even come out in the investigation in the Senate? What do you think?
Well, that's the second big problem they have. Adam Schiff selectively picked witnesses that would support his claims and justify his investigation, but did not allow an actual legal process that allowed counterarguments. So it will come out if it goes to the Senate, and if Jerry Nadler in the Judiciary Committee has open hearings and the president is able to bring witnesses that actually counter these arguments, and apparently there's a number of them, then it will come out. It'll look very, and it does. It looks incredibly political at this point. And that's why people are seeing through it. And it was political. The entire argument is political. There was no bribe. There was the money was released. There was no investigation. So the accusations are screaming at a crime that never existed. So that's slapping them back in the face.
Well, I have to agree with you 100% that the accusations are bringing up an action that never really occurred. But the fact of the matter is, most of the people who I know, most of the liberal folks who I know, I mean, they may be misinformed. They may only believe what they want to believe. But the fact of the matter is, there is a very large contingent of people in the United States who believe that what Schiff is doing is 100% correct, and they believe that in defense of Trump, that all of those actions are simply erroneous. Now, What I do find to be interesting is I saw the polls that came out, obviously, of late, and right now, 1-2-3 in the Democratic side of the fence, for lack of better terms. Obviously, Joe Biden is in first place. I think that one is going to really bite the Democrats hard. Elizabeth Warren has now, according to one of the polls, slipped into third place, and Mayor Pete is now rather substantially, according to some of the polls, in second place. I don't think that that bodes real well for the Democratic team. How about you, Jimmy?
No, I agree completely. I think that they're in a very difficult position, and when the first black billionaire comes out publicly in today's reporting, says that, hey, based on the candidates out there, they're just not going to get black support and they can't beat Trump, that's a pretty powerful statement. And
yes,
of course, some of these polls that have come out recently in the last week, again, this week has turned out to be what should have been President Trump's worst week has actually turned out to be one of his better weeks. Black community in some polls between 25 and 35 or 34% support with some margin of error. But in the black community, that's unprecedented since Eisenhower, support for a Republican president. That actually will significantly undermine the Democrats' possibilities to win the race if Trump continues with those types of poll numbers. And it goes right to Buttigieg, who gets zero support from the black community.
You're right.
Warren gets very little support in the black community. Biden has the strongest support in the black community, which is why he's actually still up there. But then you get, you know, people like Bloomberg that are really, really causing some problems in their process, the Democratic candidates' process. And I think they're, you know, I think they're in a real difficult situation.
Well, I think they are in a very difficult situation. We're going to take that topic and enlarge on it quite a bit here in the next segment. What I want to begin the next segment with, Jim, so you can kind of get your thoughts together on that one, is exactly how much of a role is Michael Bloomberg going to play as a spoiler? My personal opinion, looking at it on the surface, I would say that in spite of the fact that he has very strong ties to the Republican Party, which I think is going to cause the Democrats a little bit of consternation, for lack of better terms, in spite of that, I would have to say that he is really in the best position of anybody other than the fact that he is, quite frankly, an old man. And that is, I think, going to become more and more of an issue. So let's talk in the next segment about the role that Michael Bloomberg could play. Folks, stick around. We're going to be right back. Here to wrap up KER Politics, Jim McKinney is giving us his insights into what's going on. It seems to be all in favor of the Trump, I'll use the word campaign, even though we're almost a year away from the actual vote. We are a year away from the actual vote, but I would have to say the best spoiler who I've seen come along is not Joe Biden, but the best spoiler for Donald Trump, in my opinion, is Michael Bloomberg. Got an opinion on that, Jim?
Yeah, I believe that Bloomberg is definitely a spoiler. This is somewhat of a joke, but I also believe that if Trump couldn't have hired a better guy to actually cause problems in the Democratic Party than Michael Bloomberg. I don't know if they're partnering up on this, but when you've got a 77-year-old billionaire who steps into the race using his own money. He bought $35 million in ads this week. And if anybody was watching football Thanksgiving weekend, oh, by the way, happy Thanksgiving to all you folks out there. If they were watching the football, they saw these ads over and over again. The problem is that the left, the progressives in the Democratic Party have put the primary so far over to the left to win, to actually have power and to win these primaries, that they're going to have it's going to be really tough for a billionaire, a guy that they're railing, the type of person they're railing against, who self-funds, to actually get momentum in the Democratic primary process. And so the only way that he's going to come out of this as a victor is if they just are fed up, think, okay, well, he's the guy that might win. But the reality is his policies, I mean, his campaign slogan is Revive America. Well, that's pretty close to Make America Great Again. He's not going to appeal to this diversity argument on the left. He's not going to appeal to the extremists. No. Because he does have connections with as a moderate. He may be able to do well in a national election. The problem with that is he's this New York billionaire that ran the city, did a decent job while he was there, but he doesn't represent much of the country, and he's been very strong on anti-gun rights. That's going to hurt him politically if in a national election. But I think in the primaries, it's going to be very difficult for him to actually gain traction with these extreme left primary voters that are dictating the future of the Democratic Party, which I think is a pretty dim future.
Well, I got to tell you, Jim, one thing that I think has happened is I think the Democrats have basically positioned themselves very effectively for the progressives. And the reason I think that's a negative. And the reason that I say that is because Bernie Sanders is still, he's not just waiting in the wings. He's waiting in the wings to charge out swinging. He's a pretty forceful guy with his particular personality. But I have to say one thing, and that is, I really don't believe, in favor of what you're saying about Trump, I really don't, and I do support Trump, Tony. Mr. Irish, I'm just bringing up all of the factors that I think we have to be careful of between now and next November. Now, I think that Ocasio-Cortez and the rest of them have done a very, very good job in terms of elevating the position of the extreme left-wing progressives. And the one place I have to agree with everybody who agrees with me on this one is that is really going to hurt the Democrats, in my opinion. You really want society to go the way that it's going right now? I'm not voicing an opinion on that one right now, but I am saying, is that what you really want? Is that what you really want? And I would have to say, my guess is probably not.
I do believe that they have been successful in pushing the party to the left. AOC, the Squad, some of the extremists, Sanders supporters, they made a mistake in thinking that was a winning method. That failed for both Bernie Sanders in the previous 2016 election. It's failing with the group, but for some, with the mainstream middle class independent voters in the United States. But they think for some reason their social media mobs and with this idea that they're going to give free stuff to everybody is somehow going to be effective, and especially doing that at a time when the U.S. economy is doing very, very well compared to the rest of the world's economy. So it doesn't make a lot of sense to increase taxes, to do the socialized healthcare system, to open the doors to immigration. One of the things that Bloomberg is actually campaigning on, he wants more immigrants in here. And a lot of the leftists have pushed for open borders and illegal immigrants getting all kinds of rights of citizenship and support. It doesn't make much sense to make those types of arguments at a time when 70% of the population want to see curtailed immigration, when the economy is doing well, when individuals have gone up in one of the largest increases in middle-class income in our history in a short period of time. It doesn't make any sense. It's a losing strategy. And I think it's going to hurt them badly.
Well, I think, I have a question for you that may seem to be a bit of an aside here, and maybe it is a bit of an aside, but I know that when I was watching The Five, that the time that Trump Jr. was on there, he brought up the fact about minority unemployment, specifically African-American unemployment. He said it's the lowest in history. Oprah Winfrey gave out the biggest holler I've ever seen in my life, and that holler basically could be translated into, you don't know what you're talking about. That's totally not true. All the numbers that I see, Jimmy, say it is totally true.
And yeah, they are definitely true. And that's what is very interesting to see the left. They don't look at the facts on this. Anna Navarro this weekend screamed via Twitter that there must be these polls showing 34% black support for the president were wrong, that they're wrong. Their polls, of course, they're not 100% accurate, but that's a huge push from the 8% that Trump got in the election. So, you know, you can pretend and you can think that it's not right. They're listening to their own propaganda and they're believing it because, unfortunately, mainstream media outlets and CNN and MSNBC continually harp and bring up actually inaccurate numbers and inaccurate facts. And if you believe that, then that just is going to seal the failure of the progressive left. It's just going to seal it. And, you know, you got to look at numbers and facts. So, hey, I did want to make one comment because we do have breaking news from today.
Yes, we did. I was going to bring that up. Go ahead, though.
Yeah, we have this this attack in London, a terror attack, which shows that terror is not dead, but I will say that it is dying. You have much fewer coordinated large-scale attacks in this last year than you had in the previous years. In fact, 2014 to 2016 were the largest numbers of attacks and people killed by terror attacks from ISIS in Europe ever, from 2014 to 16. And we've had a significant reduction in those types of large-scale coordinated attacks. They don't have a place to hide. They don't have the resources that they have. They have less training facilities. And this is directly the result of a better, smarter push by the Trump administration. And then, of course, his trip to Afghanistan yesterday, surprise trip, very influential, restarting talks with Taliban, committing to continued reduced U.S. presence in Afghanistan, but ensuring that he holds steady on that. You add all these different things up with the polling, you add it up with the lack of transparency in the impeachment process and the no poll numbers going away. And of course the black poll numbers, you see Bloomberg splitting the Democratic Party. It actually has turned out to be a pretty strong week for the president and the administration.
Jim, let me ask you a question. We're going to be doing this every week, kind of wrapping up both facts and our opinions on subjects that are going on as they directly affect the Trump campaign. Where do you think we're going to be at Christmas? And let's say, do you think that by Christmas the polls are going to change significantly in terms of going in a favorable direction for Trump? We've only got 20 seconds, man, so I can only get a yes or a no, and we'll talk about why you're saying that in editorials this week.
Yeah, I just believe that you're going to continue to see attacks on the president no matter what from the extremists on the left. So you don't know how it's going to turn out, but he's been standing up to it. So.
Well, let's see what Santa Claus brings down the chimney. You guys have a great week.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.